Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That's a getaway Friday for many, and hopefully you and yours will have an outstanding weekend. Yeah, we got hit with some rain today. I guess we needed it, right? Homeowners will say that. Those who try to manicure their lawns will say that. Tomorrow, Sunday, I don't know what to tell you. I never check. I got a golf game scheduled early, then I'm ready to settle in for the 8 games coming up on Saturday. We'll have, obviously, 8 more coming up on Sunday. Will one of those include the Florida Gators? They have a 1-point lead right now. Timeout on the floor. Actually, they just come back from the break. It was 54-52. Colorado now with free throw, so it's all tied up with 15:50 to go in the second half of play in the South Regional. We will absolutely keep you updated on that game. One other contest right now is going on, and that is Yale, a 13 seed, up by 1 over Auburn. Auburn, of course, a 4 seed. The SEC has been stung so far in this tournament. Kentucky, South Carolina, Mississippi State. Right now, 2 SEC teams playing, trying to advance to the weekend. Again, Auburn down 1. Florida, a bucket here now with 15 and a half minutes to go. So they are up 56-54. All right, 6 games have gone final. You know, for the most part, things went today as expected, outside of possibly a 9 seed Northwestern knocking off FAU after what they were able to do a year ago, an overtime matchup. If you look at the score, it doesn't tell the story, okay? It was just complete domination in that extra 5 minutes of play by Northwestern. They outscored Florida Atlantic 19-7 during that 5-minute period. So they win that game 77-65. But outside of that, it was Clemson 77-56. That is in the West Regional. Clemson, a 6 seed, knocking off an 11 seed in New Mexico. San Diego State in a tight game. A 5 seed over a 12 seed. The Blazers of UAB. Again, the final 69-65. SD State. Baylor a winner, 92-67. Little trouble with Colgate. Baylor a 3 seed. Colgate at number 14. Western Kentucky had a double-digit lead in the first half. They just could not miss. They actually got a last-second bucket by Marquette. It was 43-34. Marquette with a layup to make it 43-36 at half. And then it was all Marquette in the second half. They outscored the Hilltoppers 51-26 in that final 20 minutes of play. Obviously, Gator fans were aware of this, but others who may not have their bracket in front of them, Florida would get Marquette coming up on Sunday if Florida can hold on. Right now, Colorado has gone up by 3, 59-56. There's been 13 lead changes so far in this game. Between Florida and Colorado, 13 lead changes and 6 ties. And, you know, I just looked up and I saw what has been a big story so far in this game. Yet another offensive rebound by the Florida Gators, and it led to 2 more points. So I have unofficially right now, I have Florida with 9 offensive rebounds. I have Colorado with only 2. And that is a big difference. I don't know what the points are after the offensive rebounds, but I've seen at least 3 examples where there has either been a putback or they pushed the ball back outside, set up a play, and Florida was able to get a bucket. And that was a huge one there. It was 59-56. Florida gets it. They actually lined up their offense after getting the offensive rebound, made a bucket to make it now 59-58, Colorado on their way to the free throw line. Again, I'll keep you updated constantly throughout. 13:40 remaining in this basketball game between the Gators and the Buffaloes. How about last night in Kentucky? I mean, you got to be kidding me. How do you lose a game like that to Oakland and Jack Golke? What was he, a he wasn't recruited by anyone. He didn't have any offers. You know, he went like the junior college route, or he went like the community college route. And then all of a sudden he got an opportunity finally at Oakland at the age of 24. And last night the man poured in 10 three-pointers to knock off Kentucky. And now there's a lot of talk that maybe this great run is officially over now for John Calipari. He's a guy that had some success, you know, managing the one and done. And I don't think there's any doubt about it. If you were to really lock down Roy Williams, if you were to really lock down Coach K, I got to believe one and done's, and then most recently the transfer portal, is probably the reason why they are no longer coaching. With John Calipari, I mean, I remember him at the University of Massachusetts with Lou Rowe and Marcus Camby. And, you know, obviously he had success at Memphis. Didn't work out the way he wanted it to in the NBA, like so many of these college basketball coaches. But they haven't won. And, you know, they had another major upset in, what was it, 2022. They got knocked off by a 15 seed. They get knocked off last night, just crushed once again by a 15 seed. So you have to wonder, is it over for John Calipari? He's talking about, you know, making a significant amount of changes, and perhaps with his coaching, maybe his overall thinking and philosophy on how to do things as far as rebuilding that brand. But we see it all the time, whether it's basketball or football. This reminds me a little bit of the end of the Bowden era, you know, a little bit of the end of the Phil Fulmer era, perhaps a Joe Paterno era. I don't know. I'm asking you. I know it's a different sport, and things are completely opposite of what I just mentioned with those football coaches. You know, three football coaches who had a lot of success, able to win national championships, if you look at Fulmer, Paterno, and Bowden. Again, right now in college football, for what it's worth, there's only three head coaches in the game who have won national titles. Kirby Smart, Dabo Sweeney, and the last one? Anyone? Anyone? Dylan?
Say the question again.
Dabo, Kirby, who is the other current active college football head coach who's won a national title? Because Jimbo got fired.
Saban retired.
Harbaugh moved on. I think I'm forgetting one other, but there's one coach.
Mack Brown.
There you go. Mack Brown at Texas. Obviously, he is with North Carolina. You want to win a bar bet, take that one with you tonight. All right, timeout on the floor. Colorado on a little bit of a run here. They're now up 7, 65-58. The Buffaloes in this game with 12:25 to go. Let's take a quick peek at things. I gave you the numbers as far as offensive rebounds. Florida dominant in that particular category. One thing that sticks out right now more than any for Colorado is they haven't missed from the free throw line. They're 14-14 right now. Florida's only gotten there 8 times. They're 6 of 8. Overall, both teams shooting fairly effectively. I mean, Colorado 59% so far from the field and 5 of 8 from behind the arc, 62.5. Hey, if there's a glimmer of you know, in a possibility of something changing here, that's eerily similar to what we noticed with Western Kentucky, but that was in the first half. They didn't take that with them. Now this has been 7.5 minutes into the second half. It was a totally different team for Western Kentucky, who couldn't miss in the first 20 minutes of play. Florida Gators right now, 23 of 47, shooting just under 50%, 48.9% from the field. They have made 40% of their three-pointers, but they've taken double the amount of Colorado. Right now, Florida 6 of 15 from the three-point line. As I told you, 6 of 8 as far as free throws. Rebound edge goes to Florida, 22-19, and the one that really sticks out again is the offensive boards. They have 8 here for the Gators, 2 for Colorado. Turnovers are obviously huge in any game, but they're really magnified once you get into the month of March. Colorado has turned the basketball over 7 times so far. Florida has turned the ball over 7 times. Florida's gotten 16 points off their bench They have eight players who have scored. The eight who are playing, everyone has scored. But again, they have gotten 16 off the pine so far. You look at Colorado, it's a totally different story. Only 6 points. So let's take a look at foul trouble as far as starters right now for the Buffaloes. Well, they only have two players with two, Simpson and Da Silva. So they're really not in any foul trouble. Williams is on the pine. He's got two as well. For Florida, let's see, three for Samuel, three for their leading scorer in Clayton Jr., who has nine. And let's see, Pullen's got a couple of personal fouls at this particular time. Again, as we head towards the 12-minute mark in this matchup, Colorado up 65-58, Florida with the ball. Nice layup inside and an easy bucket for Florida, so they should be able to take advantage of that. They cut it to a five-point game. All right, coming up on the program tonight, we're going to have a lot of fun. Dylan is with us. Obviously, he's with you during the day, during Jaguars today, and as well with Hacker Nation. Have you been able to get any golf rounds in as of late, Dylan?
I did about 3 weeks ago. It's been a little minute for me, but I'm playing twice this weekend, so I'm going to catch up for it.
Well, let's hope the weather does its part. I don't look ahead. I mean, maybe you do. I never check the weather because they're always wrong.
Always checking the weather.
Yeah?
Always.
What's the report for tomorrow?
A little bit of rain in the morning, but it should be done about 9, 10 a.m. Should be mid-60s, and good weather this weekend.
We need to get out and play. It's been a little bit since I've been out there.
Yeah, we need to schedule a time this weekend.
Always a good time. Sometime. Yeah, next time. I no golf next week. I'm on 3-6 next week.
Oh, that's right.
With Lauren Brooks. So, yeah, there'll be absolutely no tee times for yours truly. That's why I hope my round tomorrow gets in, gets complete, and then I'm fired up to watch all of the college basketball games that are coming up on Saturday. As a matter of fact, the early lines are out for these matchups coming up on Saturday. And let me give them to you right now because we're going to be joined by the Philly Rooster. Actually, check that. It's going to be the Philly Godfather who's going to join us here in about 15 minutes. But North Carolina, 4-point favorite over Michigan State. I mean, doesn't it look easy? Doesn't it seem easy? A lot of people had Mississippi State over Michigan State. How's your bracket? I went 11-5 yesterday. I believe I'm 5-1 today. How are you so far, Dylan?
I'm the same from yesterday. Today, I went pretty chalky, so I'm pretty good for today. I think I had FAU, but everything else has been the same.
All right, the eight games tomorrow. North Carolina's a 4-point favorite over Michigan State. Creighton favored by 5 over Oregon. Duquesne and Illinois, that's a double-digit favorite for the Fighting Illini, minus 10. Tennessee, minus 6.5. Against Texas, Oakland, NC State. Boy, and, you know, Jack Golke went out and said, we're not a Cinderella, this and that. There's no doubt that this has become the media darling. Everyone who's not a Wolfpack fan will be pulling for Oakland to grab this upset in advance to the Sweet 16. Tomorrow, North Carolina State is a 5.5-point favorite. Washington State, Iowa State. I picked Iowa State to win the national title. They're favored by 4. Gonzaga and Kansas. Was that a block last night? What a game that was. And almost two true blue bloods losing at night. It would have been Kentucky and Kansas. Kansas able to hang on. Boy, their game against Gonzaga is going to be just outstanding. Kansas favored by 4. And then Dayton and Arizona. Arizona favored by 9.5 points. We will do more of this coming up here momentarily with our good buddy, the Philly Godfather. We've got some games that we do want to knock down with him. Okay, timeout on the floor, the under 12-minute timeout, media timeout. It is Colorado 68, Florida 62. Again, 11 minutes, 35 seconds to go in the second half. Also, Auburn has begun to pull away. They were down by a bucket moments ago. Now, all of a sudden, the Auburn Tigers are up 55-48 over Yale. Auburn is a 4 seed. Yale is a 13 seed. 11 minutes and 16 seconds to go in the second half there. Huge story could possibly come out of Major League Baseball with Ohtani. And again, I'm going to rear the ugly head of ignorance at this particular time because we just don't know. But trust me, people are digging, okay? They got backhoes all around Los Angeles right now trying to figure out what exactly did happen. Now, for the record, I'm not a hater. As a matter of fact, I don't know if anyone is an Ohtani hater. I absolutely marvel over his talent. He's sensational, and he's fun to watch. I hope he's innocent. I hope there's nothing there. But now we see what the New York Times came for, excuse me, the New York Post came forward with, and the first thing that you see is that, once again, we have grown men lying. And whenever you witness a lie or read about a lie, you automatically must say, why? Why the lie? The initial report was that the translator for Ohtani received $4.5 million from Ohtani to pay off his gambling debt. Reportedly from the translator, the wire transfer came directly from Ohtani's personal computer. Okay. There was others speaking for Ohtani, went on to say, you know, he was upset about this. He gave the money to him to help him out. They're friends, yada, 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 yada. He went on to speak to ESPN. The translator did. And Ohtani was to speak thereafter. All of a sudden, Ohtani's camp has shut it down. They are not speaking on this. They are also going and now claiming that this was no longer lent to him through his personal computer, that all of a sudden it has now become theft. Ohtani has denied giving him $4.5 million. He has denied that he gave anything whatsoever and had absolutely no knowledge at all about the gambling problems that his translator, in fact, did have. The translator, for what it's worth, I guess bets a lot on soccer. All right. He does not bet on baseball. He says he has never bet on baseball. There's no indication that Ohtani has done anything wrong here. Okay. The pinnacle would be if it was Pete Rose all over again, right? If you could find proof that Ohtani actually bet on baseball. And again, I hope that's not the case. I really do. But I don't want to see any guy get put in the middle of this, because gambling is everything in baseball. It's nothing in football. I mean, Calvin Ridley lost a year and people were like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. Next. I mean, did you change your opinion on Calvin Ridley? The only thing that happened with him is that he lost a year. He lost a year and a half. And we know about some of the other issues he had with his mental health and had to take some serious time away. But it's absolutely accepted by NFL fans. You don't even think twice about it. Well, go back and read about the Black Sox of 1919 and, you know, apparently throwing the game. One of the great mafia figures of that time, and Arnold Rothstein, who actually ended up getting murdered not too far away from Murder Incorporated, who went down years later. I'm trying to remember who it was, went down from the barber chair. It's on the tip of my tongue, but those two murdered years apart, but really on the same street right there in New York City. So, you know, you have that. You have the Pete Rose situation. You had Henry Hill that was knee-deep in the Boston College that was doing the point-shaving scam. But in baseball, this is unavoidable. I mean, this could ruin his career. And think about what Rob Manfred would be forced to do. Do you dismiss the biggest and the brightest star right now in the game? I know I'm putting the cart ahead of the horse because there's no proof. But if he did it, that's my point. They're going to find all of this out. And one of the greatest stories that remains untold in our lifetime is what really happened to Michael Jordan. There was no bigger star than him. And he just exited for a 2-year period. And his dad lost his life. His dad was murdered on the side of the road on a highway. And I talked about this a little bit. It was either yesterday or Wednesday. The 7 years I spent in Chicago, this remains one of the biggest stories of all. And everyone seems to have an opinion on it, okay? And when I was there in the early 2000s, there still was at least somewhat journalistic integrity. There still were some journalists out there. There's like none anymore, as we know. I mean, journalists are gone. Everyone you listen to, you know what team they root for. You know where they're from. You know what I mean? It's changed over the last 25 years. Whether you like it or dislike it, it's the truth. You can't find any more, whether it's a male or female, you can't find someone and look at them and say, boy, who does he root for? Who does she root for? Man, they're so honest. They're so neutral. They're so objective. They don't care either way. Nah, they're all gone. But they weren't when I was in Chicago in early 2000. And they swore by this with Michael Jordan, that the gambling led to the murder of his dad. And that gambling absolutely was the reason why David Stern said, get out of here for a couple of years. We'll burn the paper trail. We'll dismiss all of that. But you're getting away from that. And even in his documentary, which was outstanding, that came out, what was it now, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that was comfortably avoided during that whole process. I really hope that there's nothing here with Ohtani. But why lie? Why totally change your tune the way that he has, unless there's something there? If he truly was innocent and has never bet, and he did wire transfer this money to his friend and his interpreter, why come out and deny it if he did it? And if he did it, or if he didn't do it, why did he say it to begin with? So somehow he's caught in a lie here. His camp is caught in a lie. And it sounds very political, and it has become political. And Rob Manfred, is he just going to sweep this under the rug? I don't think that's going to be allowed. I think there's a lot of hardcore Major League Baseball people out there. They're going to try to do whatever they can to see that the truth comes out on this story. I think it's going to be fascinating when it's all said and done. All right, Florida, getting back into this game, down 6. Colorado with the basketball, 8:20 to go. Colorado now to the dish, and they lay it in for 2. So Colorado goes up 77-69 and 8 minutes and 10 seconds to go in the second half here. Obviously, a under 8 minute media timeout coming up in just a little bit. A 3-pointer by Florida. So again, they knock it back down to 5. So we're going back and forth, back and forth. Colorado's made 8 of their last 10 field goals. They continue to shoot at a very promising clip right now in this basketball game. Florida keeping it to either 5 and or, well, I guess it was just 8 before the 3-pointer. Colorado back in now with another easy layup underneath to bring it to a 79-70, make it 79-72. We're now 7:43 to go, so let's ring up that under the 8-minute timeout. We'll take a timeout at the exact same time. Therefore, when we come back, we can give you the very latest on what is happening in this game. Comments tonight and every night brought to you by Schmunez Vision. All right, I've known Dr. Neil Schmunez forever. He performed surgery in my right eye 8.5 years ago after a simple visit to just get an examination on my eyes. He found the problem, went in there, removed it. There's never been a setback. It's so much more than just getting an eye examination. We're talking about high-quality medical and surgical eye care. Dr. Catherine Schmunez, fellowship training, cornea, cataract surgery, all refractive surgery combined, that's more than 30 years in laser eye surgery. But the best part of it all, it's a family practice. They're all about family. You need to trust someone when it comes to your eyes. Check them out online. Go to Schmunez Vision. That is Schmunez Vision. Check them out today and take my advice on this one. They are absolutely outstanding, regardless of what it is. It involves your eyes or your family's eyes. Go to the good folks at Schmunez Vision. All right, coming up on the other side, let's check in with the Philly Godfather. He will join us. He's got some big plays that are going on tonight as well as tomorrow. We'll keep you updated on the Florida game as well. Right now, they are down 79-72. Florida is to Colorado. 7 minutes and 43 seconds to go in the second half. Keep you updated on that as we move throughout the night right here on a Friday.
Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line. Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
6:50 to go, second half, Colorado 85, Florida 77. Lots of basketball left. Again, 6:50 remains in the second half. I'll keep you updated, but let's bring in our good friend. He is the Philly Godfather, and he joins Rick Ballew each and every week during the football season. Great to have him on here during March Madness. Philly Godfather, how you been?
Great, man. Another one of the favorite times of the year, March Madness. I mean, so many crazy things are going on. These dogs, they either win the game outright or they don't cover the spread. And the favorites, if they're going to win the game, they usually cover the spread about 80% of the time. So it's a weird phenomenon. I mean, you just got to pick the team to win. Don't even pay the juice if you're looking to bet underdogs in March Madness.
Yeah, and it's been working, no doubt about it. So some interesting stuff. You off to a pretty good start so far in the tournament?
Yeah, right around like 63%. I mean, we lost FAU today in overtime, which would have helped out a little bit more. But, I mean, we're winning more than we lose, and it's going to get even wilder, man.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Speaking of getting wild, what about a huge number like Houston? They'll play tonight as a number one seed. Longwood, I know nothing about them. They're a 16 seed, but it's a huge number here. Your thoughts on this game, Philly Godfather?
Yeah, I think Longwood's in trouble. I mean, as of right now, the Cougars, they got the second best odds to win it all at plus 550, and you really can't argue with bookmakers on that price. I mean, other than UConn, they're the most dangerous team, you know, in the tournament. Defensively, nobody's better in the nation. They're ranked number one overall in defensive efficiency. They're also great at covering the perimeter. They're ranked 12th overall in three-point defense, which is the fourth best in the tournament. And I really just can't see where Longwood's going to score their points here to stay within that 24-point Vegas number. it's so outmatched. I mean, Longwood comes into the tournament 191st in the nation in three-point shooting percentage, so I don't see much points there. Defensively, they haven't faced an offense like Houston's all season, and they still rank, you know, 140th in the nation in defensive efficiency. So they're playing inferior teams. Now they're going to have a huge step up against the second-best team in the tournament. I think they're really in trouble. And I think Houston, to be honest, I think this line should have been 30. I think Houston wins the game by at least 30 points. I mean, the Cougars have beaten teams like Texas Tech by 20. They beat Kansas by 30 this year. They're going to crush this team tonight. So I lay the 24 points.
All right, so you came on, you talk about all the underdogs. You don't even need the points if you're an underdog, if they win outright. But now you're going against the grain here. You think they win this game tonight by 30, does Houston?
Yeah, anytime I'm looking to bet underdogs, I'm looking at 7 points or less, and I'll take them on the money line. When you got a big price like this, if the team ain't going to lose the game, teams like Arizona, teams like Purdue, teams like Houston, or Connecticut, you saw what Connecticut did today. They usually cover the spread each and every time.
Right now, Colorado 89, Florida 77, 5:23 to go in the second half there. We're talking with the Philly Godfather. You know, I watched St. Mary's play quite a bit down the stretch against Gonzaga and such, and they're an intriguing team. Tonight, they have Grand Canyon. It's another one. You know, I look at the line, it's 5.5, and it looks a little bit odd to me. Do you have an opinion on St. Mary's Grand Canyon?
Yeah, it seems like the bookmakers are trying to get you to bet St. Mary's here, where Grand Canyon's a pretty good team. I mean, offensively, both these teams are ranked in the top 50 in scoring, but I kind of like the under 131.5. I went under this game. Reason being is St. Mary's pace of play comes in almost dead last in the nation at 352nd. Grand Canyon's at 117th. So I think they're going to play a real slow-paced ball game. Defensively, both teams are top five in defensive efficiency. And when you look at 3 points attempted by both squads, I mean, St. Mary's comes in 190th in the nation and Grand Canyon at 232nd. So they don't really chuck up a ton of three-pointers. So I'm not expecting a ton of points from beyond the perimeter here. I'm expecting a slow-paced game. So I went under 131.5 in this matchup.
All right, under 131.5, says the Philly Godfather. Philly Godfather, for our listeners out there, tell them how they can get all your information.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, at Philly Godfather, or you can stop by thephillygodfather.com.
I want to ask you about one other game before we say goodbye. That's a 12-5 matchup coming up tonight at 9:40. Wisconsin, again, a small favorite here. Not a small favorite, but around 5.5 points against a gutty team in James Madison. I know they haven't played the quality of opponents that obviously Wisconsin has in the Big Ten, but the 31-3 sticks out to me. Your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, and the Dukes do have a win over Michigan State this season. We saw what Michigan State did the other day. So, I mean, they did beat a really good team this year early in the season. On offense, James Madison shoots the three exceptionally well, 36.5% from the three-point line, which is the sixth best in this tournament of the teams remaining. And that could be a huge problem for the Badgers that ranked 345th in the nation, covering the three-point line. I think it's a bad matchup for Wisconsin here. The other issue for Wisconsin is they rank 188th in the nation in defensive efficiency, while James Madison comes in 12th. And the Dukes are the slightly better rebounding team. I mean, the Dukes love to push the ball. They love to play at a fast pace. They're ranked 42nd in pace of play, while Whiskey plays at a snail's pace, almost, you know, basement of college basketball at pace per play. So this is a bad matchup for Whiskey. I kind of like James Madison. I took plus 6, minus 115, plus 5.5. I still think you get it done. And don't be surprised if James Madison pulls the upset over Wisconsin.
Interesting. All right, I know you love props and you play a lot of them. Did you risk a couple of teams here? Did you do one with a pretty reward? What did you do before the tournament?
I took Purdue at plus 750. I mean, if you look at the record against the top 25 teams, 11-1, it's the best of any team in college basketball this season. You got a little better price than you could on Houston or Connecticut, and they're just as good. You look at their average opponent ranking, toughest schedule in college basketball this season. Hopefully they don't let me down this year. I know they were one and done last season, but I think they're a much better team. I think they've grown as a team. And at plus 750, 7.5-1, I think it was a good bet.
Without throwing you a curveball, did you do anything in Major League Baseball with two games already being played and then the regular season gets underway next Friday?
I haven't done anything personally, but a couple of my handicappers, they took the Yankees at 13-1 to win the whole thing, so.
13-1.
We'll see how that works out. All right. Yeah.
Hey, once again, Philly Godfather, please give us your information out there for our listeners.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Philly Godfather, or you can stop by thephillygodfather.com.
Philly Godfather, always a pleasure, sir. Best of luck in all your plays.
Good luck, guys.
There he goes. Philly Godfather. So, I mean, he comes on and says, play the dogs. You know, you don't even need the points. If the dogs win outright, then his first pick is Houston minus 23.5. Which is a huge number. That would petrify me to lay down a number like that. But, you know, it's Longwood, and it's a 16 seed. So we'll see. Houston, a number one seed, as we know. He's going to play that at 23.5. Likes the under in the St. Mary's matchup against Grand Canyon. Okay? He's got it at 131 in a hook. And he's going to play James Madison tonight, getting 6 points against Wisconsin. So those are his three. A big favorite, an under, and an underdog. Those three plays now in courtesy of the Philly Godfather. All right, let's time out on the floor. Florida has it down to 10 points. It is 94. Well, they've gone back and forth. It's been as high as 13. It's been as low as 7. So it's just going back and forth. Again, Colorado, 24 of 27 from behind the free throw line tonight. I mean, that is staggering. Florida, 13 of 15. They just need to get there more. Florida may need to begin to start to take some three-point shots. Again, down 10. I believe they're going to the free throw line here after the media timeout. Let's see, Florida, 9 of 20, so they're pretty effective. I mean, they're at 45%. As a team, they're shooting 50.8%, so that's not the problem. Florida's had a good night shooting from the field. It's just that Colorado's been outstanding. I mean, these are like Villanova numbers against Georgetown. It's like, you know, Stuart Granger and Dwayne McClain and what was it? Pannone and Pinckney and trying to think who else was on that 1984 Villanova Wildcats team. But listen to these numbers for Colorado. 32 of 49. They're shooting 65.3% from the field, 66.7% from behind the arc, 6 of 9, and again, 88.9% as far as free throws. Foul trouble, De Silva's got 4. For Colorado. He's got 17 points and 4 fouls. Simpson has 4. He's got 18 points. Again, they're getting nothing off their bench. They have 10 points in this game. Does Colorado, they're basically playing 7 players, and you've got 2 with 4 fouls, and they're relying on these 5 players. I mean, De Silva with 4 fouls has 17. Simpson with 4 fouls has 18. Their other 3, Lampkin, the center, who's had a monster game, 21 points, 16 for Hadley, and O'Brien with 12. Let's look at the Gators. 4 fouls right now for Condon. He's got 6 points. 4 fouls right now for Clayton Jr. That's not good. He's their leading scorer. He has 17 tonight, averaged over 17 for the year. 3 fouls for Samuel, who's got 11 points. 3 fouls for Pullen, who's got 13 points. Richard has only 1 foul, so he's in good shape. He's got 15. And again, they've had an accurate night, a really productive night. Off the bench has Florida. 17, 22 points off the bench right now for Florida. So, you know, getting much more, obviously, than what is happening with Colorado as far as their bench. All right, Colorado with the basketball, and that was an ill-advised shot. Going to be an over-the-back and an offensive foul here on Colorado. That's on O'Brien. So a little bit surprised by that for Colorado's sake. They didn't try to run a better play. They didn't try to maybe take a little clock with 3:46 to go. Maybe that is too soon. I mean, we hate prevent defense in football when defensive backs and linebackers, whatever, they get off their toes and they get on their heels. I think that's the other way around it. When you look at it basketball-wise, you don't want to do that either. But this foul was brutal for Colorado because it's an ill-advised shot, an over-the-back. What it does is it stops the game, and it gives Florida an opportunity to go to the free-throw line without running any clock. And that's exactly what they do. Both free throws are made. So all of a sudden, Florida's cut this basketball game to 8 points. It's 94-86, and they throw it away. So Colorado now probably needs a timeout. That's 2 really bad possessions in a row for the Buffaloes. Just explained to you what happened a moment ago. And again, they only took 6 seconds off the clock, and Florida gets the basketball back now with 3:34 to go. Only down by 8 in this game. So we will keep you updated as we move. And you know what? Now it's become really sloppy. Florida just turned the ball over. Colorado gets the ball. They immediately turn it over again. So it's this is probably the sloppiest part of this basketball game that I've witnessed in the last minute and some change. We're heading towards 3 minutes remaining in the game. Colorado up by a score of 94-86. All right, we got much more to do. If you'd like to join the program, as always, the best way for you to get on in is on our text line brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. That number is 641-1010. You can also get me on Twitter. That is Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. We'll take you up until 8 o'clock right here on this Friday night.
The Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Florida on a run here. They have no answer. Does Colorado for Clayton Jr. He is on an absolute tear. Walter Clayton Jr. is taking about 6 or 7 seconds off of the time, you know, the play clock, just uncontested layups. And then he just hoisted a 3, but as I've said since I went on the air, the major difference in this game between Florida and Colorado has been offensive rebounds for the Gators. They got a huge one back out to Clayton Jr., buried the 3-pointer. So he has 29 on the night, and all of a sudden Florida has it down to 1 possession. Okay? It is 99-96. Colorado, 31 seconds to go. Colorado with the basketball. And even though they're on the cusp of the century mark, still playing some real helter-skelter basketball here down the stretch. Colorado has turned the ball over several times. They've had really poor shot selection. Okay. Both teams are in the bonus. Alex Condon did foul out for Florida. The big man at 6'11 had 6 points. Also, O'Brien is now out for Colorado. That is Luke O'Brien. And, you know, keep in mind that if this game was to go into overtime or what have you, the two leading scorers right now for Colorado, KJ Simpson has 4 fouls. And you have Lampkin and DeSilva, who have 21 and 17 respectively, both do have 3 fouls as well. So that is going to be a factor here down the stretch. Now, Clayton Jr. has 4, and Pullen does have 4 as well for the University of Florida. And Colorado just inbound the ball and threw it away. So, again, they continuously turn over the basketball. Does Colorado, Florida here with a chance to tie it. Clayton to the rock, and he is going to get fouled and go to the free throw line with 22.6 seconds remaining, but it will be 2 free ones coming for Florida, down 99-96. It was a full court press, and Colorado had no answers for it. And, you know, for those of you who have not had an opportunity to watch any of this game or seen anything, that has been the two things that have really stuck out in this game. If Florida wins this game, it is going to be because of Colorado turnovers and the fact that Florida did dominate the offensive glass. Let's see here. Clayton
got 30 points.
He now has 30. He makes his first free throw. He misses the second. Colorado with the basketball. You would expect Florida would follow them, with it being a 99-97 game, and they do now. So Colorado will go to the line, 14.7 seconds remaining. Colorado has made 27 of 31 free throws. Florida has made 19 of 22. Yet Florida just missed one, and the last time Colorado went to the free throw line, they missed one. What does that say? A little extra pressure here as we get down to the waning seconds of this matchup. It's going to come down to free throws and probably a three-point shot. Colorado misses the first. Everything is happening here to favor the Florida Gators. Even if he makes this shot, it'll be a three-point game. Florida could tie it with a three-pointer. And, of course, if Colorado misses it, Florida could go on and win it with a three-point shot or maybe just get a two-point bucket to tie things up. So 99-97 Florida. Colorado makes the second free throw, so it's now 100-97. You just to see what Florida does. I mean, Clayton Jr. has no trouble getting to the basketball rim. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he tries to take 3 or 4 seconds off the clock and lays it up, and then they foul Colorado again. No, instead he takes an ill-advised 40-footer and makes it. So it's 100 apiece. This Clayton Jr. is absolutely unstoppable. He now has 33 points. Colorado's going to call a timeout with 6.1 seconds remaining. I'll tell you something right now. If Colorado is going to win this game, they're going to have to win it right now. They're not going to win in the five-minute overtime period. They have absolutely watched this game just come from without, you know, just absolutely, you know, I'm tongue-tied here. This is so ridiculous. They had a 13-point lead seconds ago, and it has just completely evaporated. They were up 90-77 in this basketball game. And they were up 91-79 with under 4 minutes to go in this basketball game. They were up 94-83 in this basketball game. I know Colorado's not necessarily your hotbed for coaching if you're not Deion Sanders in college football. But this coach, I don't even know who the hell the coach is at Colorado. He is going to be under a massive amount of fire if Florida comes back and wins this basketball game. This has been just atrocious by the university, by Colorado, as to what they've done here, allowing Florida to get back in it. So there'll be 6.1 seconds remaining. Florida 100, Colorado 100. And, you know, why don't we keep it right here, then take you to the top of the hour break. Clayton's been absolutely unconscious in this second half. He has 33 points, 9 of 10 from the stripe, 4 of 9 from behind the arc, 10 of 16 overall. All right, they did cross the half court, so Colorado will take it in with 6.1 seconds remaining. A baseline, Jay, that falls for Colorado. Still 2 seconds left for Florida. It is Clayton. Oh, my gosh. He nearly hit that. And it has gone final. Colorado, a winner, 102 to 100. Dylan, you just saw that was not a good shot by Colorado with the game on the line. They had an opportunity to work it into the paint to do some things. A little bit surprised he took a baseline 20-footer like that.
Yeah, that seemed like a prayer. Time was coming down, and you just shoot it up and just hope for the best. And it worked for them. I mean, Florida was scoring 85 points coming into this game, and they shot 100. They just gave up 102. So. Yep.
So there it is. That is a final. Colorado a winner by the score of 102 to 97. Well, that's wrong. It says 102 to 97. It's 102 to 100. The computer is wrong. My right eye is looking at it and telling me it's a 102 to 100 final. Colorado over Florida. And that would mean something as far as a point spread, right? Actually, it wouldn't. Florida was favored by 1.5.
Colorado was 1.5. It flipped.
It did flip.
Yeah. Colorado was coming into the tip. Colorado was a 1.5-point favorite.
Wow, that sat still all day yesterday and earlier today. So a massive switch. And again, it doesn't matter either way, 102 to 100 or 102 to 97. It is going to end up being a victory for the Colorado Buffaloes. They will move on to take on Marquette in the second round. All right, let's get ready for our second hour. 641-1010. That is the best way to join us on the text line, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. Our second hour coming up.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, all hell was broken loose in the NCAA tournament, and it's not kind to the SEC. Auburn loses 78-76 to Yale. Yale a 13 seed, Auburn a 4. And Auburn was at the free throw line with 6.5 seconds to go. Missed the final free throw. I missed how all of this happened, but they inbound the ball, too, after a free throw. So I don't know if a technical foul was called or what it was. But they, after a missed free throw, they got the ball back and were fouled again and went to the free throw line with, what, 6.1 seconds?
Yeah, right? It was a jump ball.
Okay.
After the missed free throw, it was like everybody fell on the ball. Possession went to Auburn, so they stayed with the ball under the hoop.
Ah, the old possession era. So it went back to Auburn. They went back to the free throw line, this time with 6.1 seconds remaining. And the young man missed both free throws, but it gets even better. The offensive rebound goes back to Auburn, who attempts a three-point shot. They miss it. They get another look at a putback and miss it on a block shot. So they missed their last three free throws, a three-point shot and a putback attempt with a block, all under 6 seconds to go, and Yale holds on by the final of 78-76. Of course, Florida, furious comeback. They were down 11, and actually they were down 13. They end up losing by the score of 102-100. Just a phenomenal performance tonight. Simply incredible. By Walter Clayton Jr. He ended up with 33 points, but it was not enough. It was Colorado who went to the free throw line 33 times, 28 of 33 as far as free throws tonight, and that was the difference in the basketball game. Colorado marksman, 63% from the field, 34 of 54, 6 of 10 from behind the arc, three-point shots, 60%. Florida shot well, 51.5, 35 of 68, 11 of 25 as far as three-pointers, 44%. And again, they went to the free throw line 22 times, making 19 of the 22. That's 86.4%. I actually thought Florida was going to come back and win it. I thought the reason being was going to be offensive rebounds. And I don't know what happened to Colorado, but they just fell apart. with under 90 seconds to go. And if you didn't watch the game, Clayton would take zero time off the clock. He would just run the court, kind of like Danny Ainge when he went coast to coast. And who was the guy from UCLA years ago, the guard that went the entire floor and laid it up in the win for UCLA? I can't remember. But Clayton, they didn't even D him up. He just kept laying the ball up off the glass. I mean, simple layups, taking no clock. And then he attempted a three-point shot, missed it, but an offensive rebound again by the Florida Gators, their 11th, went back to Clayton, who buried it. That was to put him, you know, within a three-point game. And then Clayton again hit the game-tying three-point shot from way downtown. I mean, I'm guessing, what, Dylan, 4 or 5 feet behind the three-point arc?
Yep.
And then Colorado, with the game tied at 100, it was not a high-percentage shot. None whatsoever. But it was good. I think it was was it Lampkin who made the last?
No, it was number two.
Okay. I don't have numbers here. Might have been Hadley who made it. But that was the difference. It was a baseline jumper.
KJ Simpson.
All right, it was KJ Simpson who had 23. You know, baseline jumper. It was not a high percentage shot. It was one of those deals, hit the rim, hit the backboard, hit the rim, went in, and Colorado does advance by the final of 102-100. So what a crazy day in college basketball. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Let's get you caught up on everything that has happened. If you've been hard at work today and you've missed out, Northwestern knocked off Florida Atlantic 77-65. That game went into overtime, believe it or not. Northwestern outscored Florida Atlantic 19-7 in that five-minute period. Clemson a winner today, 77-56 over New Mexico. San Diego State in a tight one, a 69-65 winner over UAB. In a 12-5 matchup, the 5 seed does advance. Baylor cruises through Colgate, 92-67. The final there for the Baylor Bears. Marquette was down by double digits in the first half. Of course, that's who Florida would have gotten on Sunday. It will now be Colorado and Marquette. But Western Kentucky was up by double digits. They couldn't miss from behind a three-point line. Second half was all Marquette. They outscored Western Kentucky 51-26. Marquette a final 87-69 in that matchup. A one seed, Connecticut all over Stetson, 91-52. Connecticut. Moments ago, it was Yale 78-76 over Auburn. Auburn had a halftime lead, 41-34. Bruce Pearl's going to be going crazy here. I mean, missing free throws, three in a row to end the game. You're down two and you miss three straight field goals. You tie up the ball, you get a possession arrow, you get an offensive rebound off of that third miss, you get an opportunity at a three-pointer to win it and an opportunity to put back to tie it. Couldn't go down. Yale holds on in Spokane, Washington, 78-76. So those games are finals. Let's keep you updated on what's going on right now. Of course, Florida as well, a loser to Colorado. Texas A&M and Nebraska, 15 minutes to go, first half there. Nebraska up 17-13 over Texas A&M. Getting set to tip off in moments in Brooklyn. It'll be a 4-seed Duke, a 13-seed Vermont, coming up at 7:25 tonight. That's 15 minutes away. Number 1 seed Purdue, number 16 seed Grambling at 7:35 tonight. Alabama, a 4 seed against Charleston, a 13 seed. That is in Spokane. I have right now the SEC 1-5 in this tournament.
That's right.
Tennessee a winner. But Auburn and Florida lost moments ago, and yesterday, Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Kentucky all lost. So you have Tennessee, you have Alabama tonight. Is that it? As far as the SEC, I think so.
Yeah, Alabama's missing later. They're at 735, and I think that's – yeah, that's it.
Excuse my my ignorance here. I sadly forgot that Texas A&M is actually in the Southeastern Conference.
Two teams from the Big 12 playing each other, A&M Nebraska.
9:20 tonight, it is Houston, a 1 seed, against Longwood, a 16 seed. And then the two very late night games, or the three very late night games, I should say, are at 9:40. That's 12-seeded James Madison against the 5-seed in Wisconsin. It is 9-seed TCU against Utah State, that is an 8-seed. That'll be at 9:55. And at 10:05 tonight, St. Mary's, a 5 against a 12. They will take on Grand Canyon. They only favored by 5.5. Man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't bet. That just looks weird. It looks odd to me. It definitely does. And I watched the Gales play a little bit. I watched them late in the year. You know, the naked eye. I don't know anything about Grand Canyon. Okay? I mean, who does? If someone out there knows anything about Grand Canyon, all the power to you. But, boy, 5.5 almost looks easy. I'm glad I don't bet, because if I did, I know I'd be loading up on that one. All right, those finals are in. When we come back, more on the games that are going on. Also want to spend a couple of minutes on Florida State's pro day today. Right, as many as 12 draftable players could go. And it was 5 weeks from last night. How about that? We're 34 days away from the NFL draft. Jared Verse didn't work out today. It was kind of interesting the way they did it. No official times have leaked. You know, this isn't like the combine where they do it with one clock. You have scouts there. You have personnel from teams there. And they have their own individual stopwatches and whatever it may be. So it's not like I can just tell you that, you know, Akeem Dent ran this today. Akeem Dent's a guy who wasn't at the combine. We don't know officially what their times were. But I will tell you what I got. And that's coming up on the other side. If you want to join the conversation, you absolutely can. The best way for you to get on in is on our text line. That is brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. That number is 641-1010. You can also get me on Twitter or X. That is Baloo1010XL.
Into the Night with Rick Baloo on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tyus Edney is the name I was looking for. UCLA, coast to coast, the layup. Danny Ainge did it, 30 years before that with BYU. A lot of Florida fans blaming the refs here at 641-1010 on the text line. Brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. Folks are uptight. Okay? It was the ref's fault. 7283 Blue, Rick, you've got a great memory listing off those players from the 1984 Villanova team. Yeah. Eddie Pinckney, Gary McLean, Dwayne McLean, Harold Jensen, Harold Presley, Mark Plansky, Steve Pannone. I can remember those names. What I can't remember is to stop drinking after 12 beers. Oh, the push wasn't called on one of the game-winning shots of Colorado. Kind of fouling out in a clean block. Foul on Clayton that should have been checked. File a grievance. File one.
Florida didn't win because they couldn't cover that big man.
They were down 13, man. They came back. And I looked the guy up. Tad Boyle. Tad. What a great name. Like Tad Dickman. He used to be our one of the Jaguars. Had PR honchos. He's now with the PGA Tour. Good man. Former basketball player himself. Big man. He's probably 6'7", 6'. Tad's like 6'7", 6'8". Tad Boyle. Bro, you suck. I mean, you just turn the ball over play after play after play after play. Ill-advised shots, not settling down. You tried to hand Florida the game. All right, more from you coming up on this in just one moment. Let me give you a couple of minutes of this. I need to get more information. Like everything else in the world, things have changed. I remember the good old days during Florida State's pro day where it was all there for you to see. It was all there for you to get, but that's no longer the case. You know, you have your individual stopwatches, your teams are there. I would think that just about every NFL team had to be represented. Florida State could have 12 players drafted. So we didn't get official height and weight. We didn't get official 40 times because that was all individual. And next week I'm on with Lauren Brooks 3 to 6. That'll be Monday through Friday. So I'm going to have some Florida State guests on next week, and I'll have more information on this. But a couple of notables. Kalen DeLoach did say he's met with the Jags, okay, trying to up his weight. He's only about 215. You wonder, can he play outside linebacker in the NFL, or is this guy going to be better served as a safety? And didn't they say that forever about Derek Brooks? Apparently ran a 4.5. He did run a 4.5 at the combine. But he wants to get his weight up. He was doing positional drills today with Tatum Bethune. That is good news. Akeem Dent was one of the players who was not invited to the combine. He did every drill on Friday in front of the scouts. 16 reps on the bench, 225 pounds. Again, no official 40 time. And this is according to, where did I get this information? I think I got it from 24/7 Sports. I need to find that out. I always want to credit where I got my information. Apparently ran in the 4.3s. Braden Fisk had an unbelievable workout at the combine. Really didn't need to do anything, but he did participate in positional drills. Unlike Jared Verse, who said, I ain't doing anything. Trey Benson, basically the same thing. Not doing anything. After the way Benson ran, he said, forget about it. The only thing he did today was the bench. He did 23 reps of 225. Trey Benson could be the first or second running back selected. The one who was skyrocketed more than any is Braden Fisk, and that comes on the heels of his phenomenal workout in February at the Combine. Jerrion Jones is another guy who's moving up the charts. Positional drills today, ran the 5-10-5 shuttle, did it with Renardo Green. Apparently a good workout for him. He was quoted as saying he believes he's going to be a top 100 pick. He's going to go right around, you know, round three. Renardo Green, the corner, did a shuttle drills, positional workouts. That's all we had on him. Brock Glenn was throwing today. The boot is off Jordan Travis. He met with some teams, light throwing, but he didn't throw to Jaheim Bell. He didn't throw to Keon Coleman. He did not throw to Johnny Wilson. That was Brock Glenn. He was responsible for that today. Bell had another really good day. The feeling is that the converted tight end from South Carolina could be the third overall tight end in this year's draft class. Tatum Bethune did a full workout today, ran a 40. He benched, positional drills, did it all, as I said with Kalen DeLoach a little bit earlier. I'm going to be really surprised. Those two were great football players. Reminds me of Bernie and the Jaguars' fourth-round pick, Ventrell Miller. Reminds me of those two last year for Florida. I mean, Bernie made plays. Miller made plays. Kalen DeLoach turned the season around with that sack at Clemson. That was the biggest play of the year. Okay, Florida State was really sputtering before Kalen DeLoach on that fire, on that blitz and the scoop and score. Tatum Bethune just made plays. I mean, those are good football players. You know, I not only want to stamp on me yesterday, that whole national championship from 2013, but all those five stars and all those decorated players, everyone went to the NFL. Telvin Smith was the guy who made plays, fifth-round pick. LaMarcus Joyner was the guy who made plays. Didn't go as high as Darby. Didn't go as high as P.J. Williams. Didn't go as high as Jalen Ramsey. Fabian Lovett did it all. Positional drills, 40, no time, benched. Interesting to see where he goes. Seems like he plays when he wants, kind of his reputation, right? Basically, it was a two-down defensive lineman at Florida State. Came out in passing situations. Wonder if there's a role for him at the next level. I mean, he opted out of last year's bowl game against Oklahoma. They missed him last year when he went out. Teams ran consecutively for 200 yards. I'm talking about the 2022 season. This past year, he didn't have as much of a role because of Braden Fisk and some of the younger guys who returned. Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman, they did not meet with the media. They did catch footballs today from Brock Glenn. So, yeah, it's different than the way it used to be. I don't have times. And I'm going to try to do my best to get some over the weekend, and we'll have it for you early in the week. Again, I'm going to be on 3 to 6 all week. Frank and Hayes are on vacation. So I'll be in with Lauren from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday. I'm already getting excited about that, but not as excited about this weekend. It should be a great weekend. Tons of college basketball and everything else that is ongoing. All right, let's do this. Let's punch out here for a minute, come back. The emails are just burning and burning and burning and burning. Every third email I get, they're not emails, they're texts. Every second or third that I get is that crushing the refs. Florida didn't lose. The refs made Florida lose. Yeah, I was on the air. I can't tell. You know, I'm trying to keep an eye. I'm trying to do a show. It's hard. It's not hard to do a show, but it's hard to know exactly what's going on in the game while you do a show. So that is out there. All right, we go until 8 o'clock tonight. Hacker will join you then right here in your home of the Jags.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Refs were horrendous, but Florida didn't help themselves with terrible on-ball defense. That is the 0620. I thought Colorado tried to hand them the game. They kept turning the ball over. Really bad shot selection. 83-86, Ballew, refs were atrocious today. Especially that gray-haired one. They've been atrocious all year. Can't really be surprised and got to just look forward to what Golden can do moving forward. You're a Gator grad. Your thoughts on the refs? Were they that bad tonight?
No, that's not the reason why Florida lost. Florida lost because they couldn't cover their big man. I think his last name was Lampkins. I mean, he was like a baby Shaq. Whenever he got the ball down the post, he just did whatever he could and found a way to get to the rim every time. I mean, the dude threw a little chicken wing, but I would much rather in that situation, regardless if it's my team or not, the ref swallow the whistle and the players play it out. There's nothing worse than when, regardless of the sport, where a game gets down to the end of the game and a referee wants to interject and be a part of the game. I'd much rather Hail Mary, whatever it is, than play it out.
Oh, I'm with you. It's tough enough to lose. I don't care what the sport is. But when you're convinced that the officiating had something to do with it, it's salt on an open wound. There's really another way to say it. 25-29 says, Ballew, please stop with the SEC is good. Actually, that was a little bit of what I wrote back. I said, who said that? I didn't say that. And he mentioned someone else in this radio station. I'm not going to do that. Because I'm a good guy. As far as you know. 49-90, Blue, I never thought I would say this, but I think the SEC is actually more overrated in basketball than they are in football. Well, they win the national title every year in football, except for this past year with Michigan. I'm not sure where you're going with that. Outside of Kentucky, who else really in this conference cares about basketball when you're talking football? Okay, the one team that won. Tennessee. Yeah, they cared about basketball. Ladies basketball. That's a football school. Mississippi State went down today. I'm not going to waste any more airtime on Mississippi State. They're the freaking runt of the litter. Okay? It's Mississippi State. They don't deserve airtime. Kentucky, there's your basketball school. They went down. Now, all of a sudden, all the wolves are out for John Calipari. South Carolina, whatever. You know, phenomenal women's team. What's South Carolina? South Carolina is just kind of in the way, right? I mean, South Carolina is like a tomato can. South Carolina is a jobber in wrestling. South Carolina is a Tuesday starter in college baseball. South Carolina is kind of like your future ex-wife. They're just there.
See her about every couple of years or something?
Right. They're just there. Football, basketball. They had a nice run in baseball a couple of years ago. But, I mean, what is South Carolina? What have they ever done?
They made a Final Four, what, about 8 years ago or something like that? South baseball did something.
Yeah, baseball, yeah. I'll give you baseball.
But football?
No.
No. Spurrier made them good, and that's about it.
Barely won with Spurrier. Couldn't win with Lou Holtz. is South Carolina. Auburn, that's a crushing blow with Bruce Pearl. They were up 7. Someone just sent me something here as well on our text line of Charles Barkley when they were up 7 with a cigar in his mouth. Did you see that on the text line?
No, I didn't see it.
Let me see if I can find. I don't know if I, after I pulled it up, if it went away. Pulled up the link. But that was up. Pretty cool. Boy, he's got to be upset, man. They blew that game. You think this loss is tough on Florida? If you didn't hear, Auburn was down 2 with like 7 seconds to go. Missed the free throw. They got the possession arrow on a loose ball. So they get the ball back, get fouled again. Only 9/10 of a second comes off the clock. They go back to the free throw line with 6.1 remaining. Same guy proceeds to miss the next 2 free throws. So he missed 3 in a row, down 2. But Auburn got the offensive rebound, put up a 3, missed it, then put up a putback and had it rejected by a Yale player. To have that happen all in unison in that loss. Is that it right here with Barkley?
Yeah, I see it here. That's pretty
hilarious. Did you see it now?
That's funny.
Charles is
feet kicked up on the table.
Yeah, I was watching last night. It's like they were getting ready. It was like 11 o'clock or something. And it was like Ernie with Charles, and they have Clark Kellogg in there and Kenny Smith. And they're like, we've been here since noon. It's past 11, you know, p.m. Eastern. Where else would you rather be on a day like today watching these games? Barkley looks straight into the camera and says, I'd rather be golfing. I'd rather be fishing. I would rather not have to travel. I mean, he really does. He's got his own set of rules. I mean, just... And I know it's a joke, although with Charles, it's not a joke.
No, he's for real.
That's like straight truth. But I mean, I'm a big Barkley fan. I really am. But he can do and say basically whatever he wants.
And they were there until like 1 a.m. The last game didn't end until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Here's a guy who says, Baby Shaq laughing my ass off. How many points came off fouls? Quite a few. Let's look it up again. Let's go to the box score. I mean, Colorado went to the stripe 33 times. 28 of 33, and they missed one late. I mean, 28 of 33. Florida went to the line 22 times. 11 more free throw attempts for Colorado. Florida made 19 of 22. 86.4%. Both teams shot really well. Again, Colorado from the field, 63%. Florida from the field, 51.5%. 3-point shots. Colorado only took 10. They made 6 of 10. That's 60%. Florida took 25. 11 of 25. 44%. I tell you what kept Florida in this game. It was 2 things. Late, too many turnovers by Colorado. They ended up with 12, but they had 4 late. And offensive rebounds by Florida. They ended up with 11, and they out-rebounded Colorado. Actually, they were tied with 29. But that was a big number there that absolutely favored Florida, grabbing offensive rebounds. So let's take a look at things. I was 11-5 yesterday. I had Florida. I had Auburn. Here's one, 31-61. How do you lose to Yale? Man, that's the tournament. I don't know what to tell you. It's why people say it's the greatest of all. It's a tournament. And, you know, I'm not necessarily going to be the first to say this. But if you look at wild card weekend in the NFL, and you look at the divisional round in the NFL, and if you follow hockey, President Cup winning teams, including my Boston Bruins, bowing out a year ago to Miami. The Celtics losing to a much lower-ranked team in the Miami Heat. Baseball. How about the teams last year in baseball that had to take the 4 or 5 days off? All those divisional winners getting knocked out in the first round?
Happened last 2 years.
Right. It's why It's a totally different animal. When we get to a 12, you're going to hear the Debbie Downers, oh, we don't need a 12-team college football playoff, We're going to get upsets in the college football playoff this year.
You fine with that?
It's going to happen. I love it. Absolutely,
so you're fine with if Georgia's a top team and they're a 3 seed and they lose in the first game to the third best team in the Pac, or not the Pac-12, the Big Ten in Oregon.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, it's time to play them. College football needs some life to be breathed into them. It's all complaints right now. It's all the NIL. It's all the transfer portal. There's no stability anymore. I think this is going to be a massive breath of fresh air.
People say that, though, and it's true. It's just because the games aren't going on. But last year, college football was never watched. It was most watched ever season. The two playoff games had $24 million apiece, and the national title game had $26 million. And it's by far and away the second most watched sport in the country.
Well, the biggest plus in all that is they didn't jam them on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Where millions and millions go out and party, especially our younger audience, or folks your age, they're out partying on New Year's Eve. We're going to have upsets in a 12-team college football playoff, and it feels like by the year 2026, we're going to have a 14-team college football playoff. For what it's worth, I'd like a 16-teamer. I would. I'd like first round on campus and then spread it out after the fact. But I've heard too many people, too many knowledgeable, good college football people say, oh, there's never going to be any upsets. The higher-ranked teams are going to win. And I disagree with that. It's why you play the games. We see it at the pro level every single year. Every year, road teams during wild card weekend. Every year, the divisional round. I mean, we've got about, 10 games remaining in hockey. Then you go to that two-month jaunt through the National Hockey League playoffs, which are outstanding. And the same thing with the NBA that is coming up. You get upsets. You get them all the time. Look at it, what is happening this year in the tournament. I mean, does anyone have a good bracket? Does anyone have a comfortable bracket? My bracket is in shreds. I was 11-5 yesterday. I think I started today at 5-1. But that has gone to the wayside. Let's look at today. Let's see. Florida Atlantic against Northwestern. Northwestern a winner. There's one that's wrong for me, so I'm 0-1. Clemson, I had them over New Mexico, 1-1. San Diego State against UAB, had them, 2-1. Yale over Auburn, get me to 2-2. I had Auburn. Baylor over Colgate, 3-2. Marquette over Western Kentucky, 4-2. Western Kentucky scared the living snot out of them in the first half. UConn over Stetson, 5-2. Florida, a loss to Colorado, 5-3. So I'm 5-3. We have two games going on. We have Texas A&M up 47-38 against Nebraska, 3:37 to go in the first half there. A&M really needs this for their conference. The conference overall is 1-5 so far. Duke and Vermont, 6:49 remaining in the first. Duke up 26-18 there. We got a game set to start now at 7:59. Okay, so that's coming up in about 14 minutes. It'll be number 1 Purdue against number 16 Grambling. At 8:03 tonight, it's Alabama and Charleston. At 9:20 tonight, it's Houston and Longwood. If you missed the Philly Godfather, he was on along with us earlier in the program. He's going to lay 24 points tonight on Houston. He began the show talking about underdogs and how to play underdogs anyway. I guess he played Yale. He's playing all these underdogs, but he said, I'm going to get away from that with Houston. I'm going to lay the 24. He thinks they win by 30 tonight.
They have played good this year other than their one loss in the conference tournament last week.
Yep. Where they scored 45 points
or
something?
Yeah, they lost by 30, I think it was.
Yeah. So that's at 9:20. At 9:40 tonight, it's Wisconsin and James Madison. 9:55, TCU and Utah State. And then the finale tonight is St. Mary's against Grand Canyon. So that is what is coming up there. Just if you're making plans, hopefully it's a great weekend for you. Before we bring in Hacker Nation, let me tell you that the first game tomorrow is at 12:45. It's Arizona and Dayton. Arizona favored by 9.5. That's at 12:45. At 3:15, it's Kansas-Gonzaga. Man, is that going to be a lot of fun. Kansas's leading scorer out. They nearly got clipped up last night, much like Kentucky. At 5:30, North Carolina-Michigan State, a 1 seed against a 9 seed. How is North Carolina only favored by 3.5 points? I know one of their key players is out, but 3.5, doesn't that look weird? If I was a betting man, and I'm not, I'd be loading up on the Tar Heels. I understand Tom Izzo and all his experience. 6:10 tomorrow, Iowa State and Washington State. ISU favored by 6.5. I chose them to win the Natty. Oakland and NC State. Jack Golke made 10 three-pointers. They're the media darling right now. Yale will probably pick up a little bit of that, but I think others are like, wicked smart kids. Forget about them. Send me out to Oakland. Oakland, Michigan against North Carolina State. That'll be at 7:10. 8 o'clock, Texas and Tennessee. Tennessee favored by 6.5. Duquesne and Illinois at 8:40. Illinois favored by 10.5. And the final game of the 8 that'll be played on Saturday will be at 9:40 tomorrow night. A 3 seed in Creighton will take on an 11 seed in Oregon. Creighton is favored by 5.5 points. Hacker Nation is here, and he'll keep you updated on the games that are going on, including that great football tilt that would be Texas A&M and Nebraska. They're both playing basketball right now.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm trying to get over what happened to Auburn and Florida. I mean, the Southeastern Conference, Rick, that's the story of the tournament. An absolutely great regular season, getting 8 teams in the big dance, and good grief, it has been just destroyed in the last 36 hours, I guess less than that. 1-5, and all 5 teams lost to lower seeds.
1-5, A&M, I would like to say they're in decent shape here, but, you've got 22 minutes of basketball to play. We'll see what happens with Alabama tonight. Yeah, it hurts losing the teams that you were favored against in this case. Certainly is the deal. I know for you it's so much going to be about Florida, but what happened at the end of the Auburn game? I mean, how do you miss 3 straight free throws, get an offensive rebound, throw up a 3, get a block shot on a putback? I mean, it was right there for Auburn, and yeah. Yale just took it away.
Well, Yale tried to give it to him at first. I mean, it was ridiculous, and Auburn, chance after chance after chance, couldn't get it done. Obviously, Kentucky is the big story, but you think about the great year South Carolina had. They just didn't show up yesterday. They were awful. The great year Auburn had, losing to an Ivy League school. And Auburn kind of bucks the trend for me. When I look at these schools, I look at the teams that are hot coming in. Auburn was hot coming in, right? They had just won the SEC tournament. So maybe of all besides Kentucky, I'm most surprised that Auburn's out in round number 1.
What do you make of the Gators? They were down either 13 or 11. It looked over. And then some really bad play by Colorado, some bad shot selection, turning the ball over. They had no answer. For Clayton, he just kept having layup after layup, and then he made, a couple of three-point shots, did Walter Clayton Jr. Furious comeback by Florida, but they did fall short.
Yeah, they fell short. Look, I have mixed feelings about it. Obviously, you don't want to lose to a team that had to play in Dayton. You don't want to lose to a lower seed. So there's no sugarcoating it. Florida should have won the game. They were a higher seed. It's an upset, and I'm sure Gator fans are upset about the loss. Having said that, rewind the clock back to when they're 1-3 in the conference, and people are saying, is Todd Golden the guy? If I were to tell you at that point they'd win 24 games, they'd get to the finals of the SEC tournament, and they'd be a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament, I don't think people would have believed you. So nobody wants to hear that right now.
No.
That'll come a week or two down the road with some perspective. Everybody's mad and pissed and whatever, and that's fine. And I am too. I think Florida should have won the game. But again, I think Todd Golden established something this year. He's proven that he's very good in the portal, and I fully expect him to be very active in the portal again. And I think Todd Golden's going to be in Gainesville for quite some time.
Does Clayton return?
Well, no. Samuel's gone and Pullen's gone. Clayton can come back. Will he go pro is the question. Riley Kugel, the thoughts are he might transfer because he lost his spot in the starting lineup. But you get Condon back, you get Houck back. Theoretically, you get Hanlockton back if he's ready to go from the broken leg. So the three bigs come back. Will Richards, another questionable one, but the three bigs are what you're going to start with next year, certainly, if you're Florida.
All right, all that. What else tonight?
Yeah, a lot of NCAA tournament, obviously, the failure of the SEC so far. And we're certainly going to talk some NFL and some Jaguars, including Steve Palazzolo of PFF.com. He will stop by. Also, Shane Hallam of Draft Countdown. All that comes up in hour number one.
All right, have a lot of fun.
Thanks, Rick.
How about Stuart Cink? Tied for the top out at Valspar at the age of 50. Six under par, 67 today, 69 yesterday. Of course, Copperhead is a par 71, but there's five golfers at six under. There's a whole bunch at five under. That includes Justin Thomas. So not nearly as much hype this weekend, of course, as to what we experienced here last weekend with the Players' Championship, but it's tough not to pull for a 50-year-old. Stuart Cink, right now among the leaders at Valspar. That's going to do it. Hey, quick note. Next week, beginning on Monday, I'll be on with you from 3 until 6. Okay? Myself and Lauren Brooks, that is going to be the deal, 3 to 6. And then, obviously, after that, I'll go back to my regularly scheduled program, which will be from 6 until 8. Thank you to the Philly Godfather. I don't check the text line now that the show is over. If you want to get a hold of me, you can on Twitter. That's Blue1010XL. Thank you to Dylan Denmark. Folks, I'm Rick Blue. Have a great weekend. Make it a safe weekend. And again, I'll talk with you Monday at 3 o'clock right here on your home of the Jags.